Greetings to each of you this morning. It's amazing. It's been an amazing month that we've been through. And I hope and pray that it's not been in vain for you spiritually. Growing up in homeschooling and many, many days of class and taking care of small problems here and there, and then you had big days of testing, and I believe that's what we've been through. I believe we had a strategic spiritual attack, and it took a lot of our it attacked a lot of our spiritual heroes in this church. And I would imagine that most of you probably don't really realize how close we were to losing our pastor. And just to see him back there breathing on his own, I thought I was past that feeling. But pretty amazing to see the Lord pull everyone through. I believe we're going to get through it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus if we pass our test. If you didn't pass the test, you might have to take it again. You might have to go do worksheets for a few years, and God may send something else at you. But if we can get through this one, then He can move us on. It doesn't mean there's no more tests. It just means the next ones are bigger and we'll be ready for it. We look at the Job that test, We look at the test that Job faced and realize this one was really small. As bad as it is, it was really small compared to Job's test. He lost all of his things, and then he lost all of his children, 10 of them. And then he lost his health and about died. And then he had friends show up and tell him, "You've got sin in your life that you're hiding," and he didn't. You could separate those tests into thirds, separate them into three different people, and every one of those still makes ours look a little small. He got them all at once. He was just a man like we are. So there's no excuses not to pass. But most people, or many people, don't. So I want to just give that as an encouragement to stick with it. It's not over. Don't allow yourself to become weary in well-doing. As we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Called and chosen. So if you can be in that camp, these things can work for our good. This verse that stood out major to me, and we were singing just now, thinking of this, is, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." If that is your testimony this morning, maintain it. That is not a "you get there and it's done" verse. That's a verse that needs to be maintained. The payment's been made and it's available. That status is available for you. But maintain it if that's your testimony this morning. So as we work through this virus, this nasty thing, I couldn't help but draw so many parallels between spiritual life and the physical life. And so the message I want to preach this morning is to warn us about the virus of sin. We're going to call it the sin virus. There's a few differences between physical and the spiritual. The physical hits you and you can't see it and you don't know it. And you can only do so much to save yourself from it before it hits you. There's a little bit of inability there. Not so much free will. And then the spiritual virus, sin virus, is something that it's not going to take you to hell without you knowing about it. You're going to choose it. Other than that, there's many parallels that we can draw. And I was likening the need for oxygen in the body to make the function work, to give the proper things, the organs, what they need to function. And I was thinking that would be similar to having the Holy Spirit in our life, having that breath of the Holy Spirit of God in our life to take the nutrients that we give it from the Word of God and make application to the body as needed. And there's this handy little tool that I have now that I never had before, and I don't ever want to need it again. But it can save your life if you're willing to listen to it. Just give me a second here. It's called it gives you your oxygen and your heart rate. My heart rate's actually pretty high right now. That's why the alarm's going off. I don't know why it's high, but I about got to your record. But anyway, some oxygen's actually pretty good right now, but the heart rate's risky. I had to shut the alarm off because I didn't want to hear it. And I was thinking of how handy that would be. I'm not going to leave that hooked up like I was thinking, because that would be distracting. I was thinking about how handy it would be to have something like that to walk around and check for your spiritual oxygen. What's the saturation of the Holy Spirit in your life right now? How is it? Is it being able to get to all the organs and make the body function like it's supposed to? Or are you laying there on your deathbed spiritually, on life support, barely making it, and you drug yourself into church this morning because you've been a month away from the fellowship and you had no relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God yourself, and so this morning, spiritually, you're feeling pretty dumped. If that's the case, I'm glad you're here this morning, and we might be able to help you, but you've got to be willing to lay down, and you've got to be willing to take the prescription, you've got to be willing to do what it takes. Or you're just going to, if you go back into life just doing the same old stuff you always did, and you don't stop and reevaluate your life, reevaluate what you're doing, and get back on track, you're going to die. Are you willing to accept help when the sin virus symptoms show? Do you know how to recognize symptoms of sin virus? Are you as scared of sin virus for your spiritual life as you are of COVID-19 for your physical life and any other virus? So this virus particularly, we learned a little bit about it. It tries to attack the organ that is responsible for maintaining what I would consider probably the most immediately important lifeline of the body, and that is oxygen. You take the oxygen and you're dead real soon. You can lose other functions of the body and it will eventually get to you. But if you have oxygen, you can go for quite a while. And it can heal. The body can heal. But it attacks your lungs if it goes into pneumonia, which it did for my father. And it begins to, if it's viral, it'll begin to swell the cells shut, as I understand it, to where it cannot absorb the oxygen. The oxygen is being forced out. You can take a breath of air, but the oxygen doesn't retain anything. That's what the percent numbers is. How much percent is it retaining? And when it gets to a point where it can't retain enough to sustain life, it's very concerning. And in our life, as this sin virus takes effect, it will begin to sever your relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will begin to back out as you take on this virus. It's a self-inflicted thing, but it is crafty. It's calculated to make you not be so aware that it's there. It doesn't always show up in bright colors. So it is calculated to deceive and destroy. But if you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit and it has filled your spiritual lungs and is giving the proper things to the body, getting the oxygen where it needs to go, you can fight it. And in the spiritual life, it won't kill you without your consent. But as you adopt it, people want to play with sin. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't play with sin and play with God at the same time, because the one will not tolerate the other. The virus shut the lungs down, and you couldn't absorb the oxygen. They were working against each other, and the lungs were trying to keep the virus out, and the body was trying to keep the virus out, and they are not compatible. And the Holy Spirit, in the same way, will begin to leave your life, and slowly but surely, parts of your function, your body function, as you operate in spiritual life and in life around you, your function will begin to change color, and it'll start looking a little bit gray spiritually, and people will begin to be concerned, because why did you do that? What's going on over here? And if we could hook a pulse monitor on there, and we could see what your oxygen level was with the Holy Spirit, we'd probably find a problem. We'd probably find that you needed to go talk to the pastor, or you needed to go get in tune with God and receive more of the Holy Spirit. You needed a boost, and hopefully we can save your life. If you're not willing to receive that correction, if you're not willing to take that prescription, you're going to die. That's all there is to it. And it's a sad thing to watch. It's a very sad thing to watch. The conscience is like the lungs. It communicates with the Holy Spirit. And the conscience and the mind that God works with, then your body receives it and it responds, it acts, and things are done either properly or improperly. This virus also has the ability to mess with your senses. And I've got that personal experience. I cannot trust my taste and my smell because it's off. Before I had the virus, I could. As it affected me more, it changed my ability to discern good food, bad food, good smell, bad smell. I couldn't discern, so I really depended on my wife to take care of that because I couldn't smell anything. I drove over a skunk, had no idea the thing stank, and I thought it didn't stink. I forgot I couldn't smell and ended up driving over it again with my wife in the car and thought it would maybe make her nervous. We were driving over a skunk, but I knew it didn't stink. And then she was having trouble because it did stink, but I didn't notice it. And so I blundered on that joke, on that one. That I had forgotten. But as you take on sin virus, as you allow little things in life to affect you and infect you, it will definitely affect your sense of ability, your ability to sense right and wrong. It will affect your sense, because your taste and your smell is what you take in. That's what you eat. It will affect your opinion. It will affect your ability to discern. When you're eating spiritual food, you won't have the same discernment that you used to have. Things that used to taste good might taste a little crazy. My bacon tasted like a chemical the other day, and it was disgusting. I used to love bacon. I don't like it anymore unless something changes. And that will happen to you. This is a guarantee. This isn't just a funny little parallel. This is actual real life guarantees. This is what's going to happen. It happens all the time. There's a reason why I wasn't really afraid of the virus before I had any experience with it. It's because I had no faith in those who warned about it. I had no faith in the whole system. I knew it was given for a political scam, and seems to be a successful political scam. And so I didn't know what to believe about it. And as time went on, it seemed like you guys just threw a bunch of hype for no reason, because we saw no effects. And I still don't trust them as far as I could throw them, okay? But that's the reason I had no fear of it. Most of us had lost a lot of our fear of this virus. And many, many people had, because we didn't trust the source of warning. And I will say, the reason people don't fear the sin virus is because they don't trust the source of warning. And I'll tell you, the source of warning is the Word of God. It's not me this morning. It's the Word of God. And if you don't believe that, you just haven't been reading it. I certainly trust the source of warning. And now that we've experienced it a little bit, and now that this morning there's a funeral, a double funeral for a husband and a wife who got taken by COVID this morning in a church local here that we knew, we've got some experience with this deadly thing. Now we can make an evaluation. We go, okay, that is pretty bad. We've got experience with it now. It is a deadly thing. It's tried to take several of our own people out. But before that, I didn't have the same concern, didn't take the same precautions. We have experience with the sin virus. We've seen what it does to people. We've seen it work. For some reason, we think most of us, many people, have no fear, little fear. You're like, well, how do you know? I'll tell you. When I see somebody afraid of a physical virus, and they'll take all kinds of prophylactic treatment, which is the treatment you take to avoid it before it hits you. That's a new word I learned. Had to use it. They take all kinds of this preventative treatment. They avoid going to town. They avoid doing all kinds of comforts. They restrict themselves incredibly. Many people who do not want this thing, they'll avoid social interaction. They'll avoid lots of things and they'll wash their hands more. We do all kinds of things to avoid this thing. Uncomfortable, expensive things, treatments and different things that we do to avoid getting it. When I don't see you putting similar effort into avoiding this sin virus, I say, you're more afraid of physical death than you are spiritual death. And I think I make a right evaluation. I think it's reasonable. And the way I can know how much prevention you're doing or how much work you're doing is, even though I don't have a little monitor on you, I can start to see without the monitor, we can still tell that somebody needed to go to the emergency room. The colors aren't right. They lost their balance. They're staggering a little bit. And some of those things become obvious and we go, there's something wrong in the lungs. They're not getting the oxygen they need. And we can do the same thing when you're spiritually in that kind of damage and trouble. We're going to read in Romans chapter 8. Following right after Romans chapter 7. And I didn't have enough time to parallel all the way through Romans 7. But I would see Romans 7 similar to someone who has the virus and is struggling. And before they come to renewed life. But chapter 8 is more in the spirit of victory. They have victory over it. But there's also lots of warnings in chapter 8 to avoid as preventative. There's warnings here that can help us avoid falling back into it, getting it again. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let me get a drink here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Christ has the only cure for this sin virus. There's many people out there with false cures and all kinds of ideas of how they can avoid the effects or the spiritual death that is sure to ensue if you get this virus and it overcomes you. But Jesus Christ has one way, and He says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto Him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Coming to the Father, being a part of the Father, learning of the Father, that is the way of spiritual life. That shows that you have overcome this sin virus, and Christ has helped you out of it. Many of us have been affected by it and have had to be restored. Our health has had to be restored. And many of us are on different levels of the path of full restoration. Excuse my coughing, I'm still dealing with it a little bit. In verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Why doesn't that scare them? For they that are after the flesh would be similar to they that live after the carnal appetites and are being infected by the sin virus. Those that have it, they mind, they enjoy it. Why doesn't that bother them? If you're really concerned about spiritual life, that is going to bother you. That's going to get you doing all kinds of treatment because my spiritual life is on its deathbed. And my spiritual life is the only thing I have that's worth having. I don't understand why that doesn't bother them. Only that they're past their sense of feeling, or they don't trust the source of warning. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And that's what we just talked about. I would like to know why people are scared of this death as they are COVID or other viruses that become very deadly physically. It's because they're selfish. And they are very short-sighted. And so they don't think about an eternity. They don't trust the program. They don't trust the author. They don't trust their creator. And so they don't really care and don't really sense when their spiritual life slips away. And the thing of it is, to be honest with you, one thing I noticed about getting COVID that I didn't notice about other viruses or things that I've had is when I was in the middle of it, honestly, my desire for physical life really waned. I had very little energy or desire to fight. And I really think that as you are infected, at the beginning, if somebody told you you're going to die spiritually and have no relationship with God and you're going to go to hell, they wouldn't want that. That would scare them, but they don't think that the little things they're adopting are doing that to them. But as they get taken down by it and their senses change and they get to a certain point in this virus, they begin to lose their care. They don't care no more. It doesn't bother them because they don't have they've lost the relationship. They've lost the thrill of life is gone. Spiritual life, the thrill of spiritual life is gone. Life, spiritual life becomes a burden to them. The old sermons and things that the church service that used to be a blessing and they used to love it is now just a prick in their side and it'd be painful. And so they begin to not care. They actually, most of them will sever their spiritual life by leaving the only source of spiritual treatment that they received. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we can get back into good spiritual health, there is life and peace there. But it's a journey to get to that life and peace. And most people on that journey, a lot of people on that journey, don't ever get to this point of life and peace because it's a hard road of healing. And there's a lot of damage done that has to be healed. And in that process, many of them are turned back by possibly another strain, another hit of a virus. And Satan is the one who perpetrates this thing and tries to take us out. And we need to remember that as well. So he's got many variant strains. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That's the same situation with the virus coming in to your lungs and forcing out the oxygen. There's major enmity there, and it tries to starve you of spiritual life, of physical life, and does the same thing spiritually. Just as the goal of good health, purely in the physical realm, is to be productive physically. I want to have good health, and with my good health, I can go do things physically, apart from the spiritual side of life where you're doing work for the Lord as well. We don't call it good health if all you can do is sit on the couch and maintain a certain level of oxygen. That's not good health. Your good health physically means you can get up, your lungs can keep up, and you can go run a race, you can go put on a roof, you can go make the hay, you can do things, and you can live and do that. You can do the work that's been given you to do. That's good health. The same spiritually. You want to check and see, how am I doing spiritually, healthy-wise? If you're just maintaining so-so, and feel like you're doing okay, but you haven't actually been able to go out and do any work for Christ. We're not here to just live for ourselves and be good boys. and not get into trouble, so to speak. We're here to not only not to get into trouble, we're here not only to avoid the virus, we're here to do a work. And a lot of people think, well, if I just don't do bad, or if I just avoid the virus, then I'm healthy and I'm healthy. I can sit here. Nobody thinks, well, there are some people that think that in the physical world. We don't think that physically. We understand if you're healthy physically, you get out, you work, you got a job to do, you get it done. Spiritually, too many times we're willing to relax, sit down, take an easy job. There's a lot of work to do. We are here not only to avoid sin, but we are here to do a job. And I don't want you to forget that. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of ministry that needs done. There's a lot of needs inside the group. And you need to be, and I need to be, the person that tries to meet all the needs I can and still maintain spiritual health. Not allow that to drag you down. It can be exhausting. It can be spiritually exhausting to be reaching out and pouring yourself out and meeting other people's needs, and then you come home and you're toast. Not necessarily physically, sometimes just you feel spiritually exhausted. That's not bad. That's building you. Don't let it run you down. Don't let it get you weak where you fall. Let it build you up, make you ready for the next storm. It does show that there's more growth that needs to be done. It does show that there's more that needs to be, more health that needs to be gained. We will experience that in life. We're not going to reach probably the climax of spiritual health. I don't think we're going to reach that. We'll feel this occasionally. Even a good physical body is going to get tired eventually and need to get some rest. And that's okay. But are you doing the work that's been given you to do? Or are you just sitting there living for yourself, trying to be a good boy? Verse 8, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be it the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's when they take their last breath in physical life, and that's when they take their last breath in spiritual life. If the Spirit of Christ has come to a point where he is withdrawn from you, it's because you did not fight the virus hard enough. And I say that, I put the blame on you and I put the blame on me because, like I said at the beginning, this spiritual virus is not something that will take you without your consent. It will be due to your laziness, your laxity, your lack of attention. It will be your fault. And so you did not fight this virus hard enough. You were not scared enough of it. You didn't trust the source of warning. And since you were doing okay physically and felt fine physically, you just let that spiritual life slip away. And slowly but surely, the Spirit of Christ is withdrawn. And slim chance you're even going to know it. You didn't heed the warnings that were given you, and now you're dead. And that should scare us into action. If we really trust the source of warning, that should scare us into action, because at this point, this individual is doomed for eternal damnation, except something drastic changes. And if that doesn't bother you, I'm telling you, you're in rough shape on your spiritual life. If you can't understand the ramifications of that and realize this is way more dangerous than somebody who is about to die physically. This is way more dangerous. This is a person who the Spirit of Christ has withdrawn from them. He is none of his, and he's doomed for eternal damnation. Is this your brother? Is this your sister? Is this a family member of yours? How would you feel if they were about to die physically and you saw them about to take their last breath? You'd kick into action. You wouldn't. You'd stop caring so much about what they thought, and you'd do everything you could to try to save their soul, whether they appreciated it or not. If you saved them, they'd appreciate it. If you didn't, they're gone anyway. They probably won't appreciate it. Spiritually, they'll still be alive physically, so they probably won't appreciate it. But if you saw them in that condition physically, you'd jump into action. How do you respond when you see them in that condition spiritually? When you sense that this is going on, when you sense the oxygen's getting low, I don't think they're responding. I don't think the conscience and the Holy Spirit are responding well. I don't think there's much saturation. I think my brother or my father or my mother or whoever you are in the situation, we've got loved ones all over the place. What can I do to try to save them? And it's true that you can only do so much. But interceding for them in prayer is big, because this is a spiritual life. This is a spiritual battle. Intercessory prayer for them is a big deal. God will look at that. And God is ultimately, they're pushing God out. And so if you can intercede and help God to give a little more oomph to fight this thing, there may be success. It's not guaranteed. Don't be afraid to speak a word. Don't be afraid to do an action of love. Do whatever you can to restore them understanding, because we are supposed to understand this, right? We're supposed to trust the source of warning. We're supposed to trust that there's an eternity and that this is eternal damnation for this person. This is eternal hellfire. The spiritual life is dying, just like the physical life was dying. And the scary thing is, it's hard to get as worried about someone's spiritual life waning when they're still physically alive and fine as it is to see them about to die physically and you're about to lose them. It really is hard to get that worried about a spiritual life. I understand that. I've had to do some reevaluating myself. But truly, in principle, we can understand that this spiritual death is way more scary, way more a problem, way more permanently damaging than a physical loss. We understand that. We check our... Yep, it is. And it's like, well, why don't my feet move as fast then? Why doesn't my mind work as fast to calculate how can I save this person? Why don't I get as concerned? So in my actions, I'm not necessarily backing what I'm saying in my speech. I understand that concern. I understand that feeling. But it doesn't negate the fact that these are real principles that we need to consider. Are we doing everything in our power and letting God do the rest? That's the request. That's what we need to do. And you might be surprised how much is in your power. You might be surprised what doors God can open. I would have never dreamed that we could have done what we ended up doing. And I believe it was only the Lord opening doors and things that I didn't know anything. I was as ignorant as the most ignorant person when it comes to giving somebody oxygen or anything like that. I knew very little. Like, I could have recognized a medical oxygen tank, and that's about it. And there was a fast education. There was a lot of moving. There was a lot of willing helpers. And we all kicked in and did our part, and the Lord brought a victory. And He can do the same thing in spiritual life. The only problem and discouragement with spiritual life is you are dealing with a free will that is often stubborn, and it's easy to become discouraged. So that's a reality of spiritual life that you don't have as much of in physical life. The patient in physical life is usually more patient when they've realized they're about to die than the patient in spiritual life. And so that can make it difficult. But I'm not only here to warn us about becoming attacked by the virus, but also, on the other side, us to help our brother or someone who may be being attacked by it. I want us to understand both sides of this. We got to get through here. I thought this was going to be, like, short today. I think we're at verse 9 or 10. And if Christ is in you, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The virus, the body being the spirit, the physical appetites, is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. The spirit has gained control. And you have a good spiritual life there with Christ. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. If you have good spiritual health, your mortal body will be quickened. You will act upon it. It will become an obvious thing. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. There's a warning from Scripture. Another warning. Do we believe it by now? Are we concerned about it? Well, it's really a monitor on how our perception is, how well we're doing spiritually. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that's where I want people, when they read that, I want them to think about all the precautions, all the mortifying of the deeds of the body, all the things they restrict themselves of, all the efforts they go to avoid physical impairment in many ways. But today we're talking about the virus. And there's a lot of activity going on all over this country, and some of it probably necessary and some of it probably unnecessary, to try to avoid the spread of this thing. If we mortify the deeds of the body, spiritually, we shall live. That's the cure. That's the way to avoid it. And you know, what if you got to Judgment Day and you'd been one of those that wasn't so concerned about the spiritual life, but you kind of haphazardly got through it. And you got Judgment Day and God looked at you and said, you know, I could tell by the way you acted when you were afraid of something that you knew how to really go to great lengths to restrict yourself and avoid a lot of a lot of fun, a lot of things that you really enjoyed. You really restricted yourself a lot to keep physically healthy. But I really didn't see you giving near that much of care when it came to hanging out with bad influences, when it came to what you did on the computer, when it came to what you did in town, when it came to your relationship with your family, with your brothers, your sisters, your wife, when it came to your attitude, when it came to how cautious you were to not let any of these effects of sin take root in your life. I really didn't see you restricting yourself a whole lot. When you caught yourself having a rotten attitude and saying something or doing something that wasn't right, I really didn't see yourself going and getting on the spiritual treatment that is required to completely overcome and squash that part of the virus. When I saw you dealing with struggling in this other area, I didn't really see you taking half that much precaution to avoid getting close to that area. What if that was you and God on Judgment Day having that conversation and God was sharing all that with you? Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." That's the result of catching the sin virus and not overcoming it. He's particularly talking about people who kill the body, who could kill you. And Jesus says, in comparison to God here, don't be afraid of them. They can just kill the body. You need to be afraid of that which can destroy both body and soul and throw you into hell. And that's what sin virus does. It will get you severed from your Redeemer and from your relationship with the only one who has the cure. And it will destroy your soul, and you will be cast into hell. So Jesus, if he was here, he'd be more likely to say, you know, guys, don't be so afraid. You know, avoid it. Don't bring on unnecessary affliction here, obviously. If they persecute you, flee. And in relation to the virus, take your things. Do what you can. But I'd like to see you more afraid of spiritual defeat. I'd like to see you more afraid of allowing a bad appetite or a temptation or something to get you. I'd like to see you more afraid of that. I'd like to see you guys talking more about that and taking more precautions there. And you act like you're almost more afraid of dying physically than you are spiritually. I think that's a problem. I don't think I'm stretching anything. I don't think I'm twisting anything. I just think that maybe we've become a little dull. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember, the goal of physical health is physical productivity, and the goal of spiritual health is spiritual productivity. And spiritual productivity is what it takes to become eligible to become one of the sons of God. That is like the climax point. That's where we're headed. You don't want to miss that. "We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Similar to the lungs taking in a breath of fresh air, receiving oxygen, making distribution as needed, it's a process that is not physically observed. But the physical health and strength bear witness to yourself and to those watching, it is readily observable that there is good functioning. It is a proper relationship. Your lungs are doing well. They're taking the oxygen, the air, and everything's working well. And I can look at a person and watch them for a while, and we can all do this evaluation. And while it is not readily observable, your connection to the Holy Spirit, I can't sit here and go, there's connection going on. I can watch your life, and I can see the colors that it produces and the function. And if it's good function, you can run the race, you can do the things, you can do the duties, and you're still fine spiritually, you're not falling apart. There's good connection. The Spirit's bearing witness, and it does work its way out. And we can see it to the point that we could put a monitor on you and it would tell on the outside. What happens on the inside shows on the outside. We would see it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. It may require some suffering with him. That's called doing what it requires to avoid this virus. We all understand that. We suffer a lot to avoid this silly COVID thing, which is nasty, but it's nothing in comparison to this. A little suffering is very reasonable. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul is convinced it's going to be worth the effort. He's convinced of the source of warning. He is continuing to warn, and he's living his life showing that he's convinced and that he does have the relationship with the Spirit and he's healthy spiritually. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This all means so much more as I read through this chapter, having gone through this and being able to feel the feelings and then translate the feelings in a way that I hadn't previously felt. These things are a lot more meaningful in trying to the fight to save a physical life and then realizing the fight to save a spiritual life is much similar, only much more desperate. Let's jump down to 31. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is a sure cure for victory that's provided by God and Jesus Christ. Why don't people take it? Because they refuse to acknowledge the danger. They refuse to trust in God's program. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's the cure that works. Christ and God, they had a plan. They created it. They made a way for us to be redeemed and for us to be restored to good health. It's as you fight this virus, it's more like an immune support. His cure, it strengthens the antibodies of the immune system so that you can be hit with other strains. And this victory over this particular strain, this particular test, I have built some immunity to it in the fact that I understand it more now. And now it has also strengthened my immune system spiritually to where when I'm hit from another angle, I can fight that one. And it builds you up and makes you more resistant, more knowledgeable to the attacks of Satan as time goes on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe the apostle is trying to stress that we can trust the warning giver It's a sure cure. It will work. You will have victory if you take the prescription. Right now you're in the middle of it. Right now you're struggling. Take this prescription. It'll get you out. The problem is there's many other people saying, no, take this one. No, take this one. Like, that one tastes better. He's got cherry flavor. Those ones aren't going to do it. We need to learn to look for the symptoms and try to hit it early. And you will only act upon early symptoms to the degree that you are afraid of being overcome by the virus and reaping its consequences. So just as you look for, you know, fever, headache, sore throat, things like that in the physical to see where you're headed, and then before long, the high-risk symptoms, you've gone down this pathways and you're looking gray, you got low oxygen numbers, you're dizzy, there's a problem. Then you get, those are high-risk symptoms, those you're in it. You've gone to the next level. So in the spiritual life, if you see laziness, sloppy behavior, complaining, a tendency to complain, lack of a missionary heart to those who may bother you, too busy chasing dollars to properly raise your family, lack of proper submission to authority, these things begin to show themselves, and you just burr every once in a while, and people look and go, ooh, he's got early symptoms of sin virus going on there. I can see that you wouldn't do that if that's associated. That's one of the symptoms. And before long, if that is not taken care of, if that is not cured or dealt with, you will begin to have grudges between brethren. Not only did you lose the missionary heart that you should have, the good that you were supposed to do for them, now you've got a problem with them. There's a grudge. There's rebellion to authority, whether it comes in passive or direct. It's rebellion. Worldly appetites become a problem. Very little spiritual interest, if any. And you have attitude problems when it comes to things that are trying to help you, because you've already built resistance to the correction that was already trying, the people that were already trying to help you with the early symptoms. We need to learn to look for those. We need to learn to try to pray for wisdom on how to treat them, how to help a straying brother who may be in that situation. And we're in a battle for our life. We're in a battle for each other's life. We're in this together. And, we're going to have to close it up here. So I'm just going to, instead of reading things, I'm just going to speak the principle, freaking principle here. Jesus had a parable about a king who made a marriage for his son. And those that were bidden didn't come. They made light of it, went their way. They went and invited other people, and they all came in. And even in that group, and we wonder, why in the world did this guy get in there? He came through looking at everybody, and somebody didn't have his garment on. Didn't have the wedding garment that was supposed to be there. And I believe that wedding garment is a type of your righteousness, because the wedding in Revelation, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And because Jesus is talking about a spiritual parable here, the fact that he didn't have this garment on was something that God was looking for in his spiritual life. And he came in, and even though he was in there, he didn't disregard it and go on his way like everybody else. He feared enough, after seeing what happened to those guys, that he went in. But when he was seen, God could perceive he didn't have his wedding garment on, and he was still cast out. And I bring that up just to give warning for us. We may not be like them. There's always someone who's farther than us, who's been maybe taken down or is dead spiritually. We're not trying to compare ourselves with them. We're trying to compare ourselves with what a good, healthy spiritual life looks like, and compare ourselves with that, not what spiritual death looks like. And so beware of that. What if you were the man that when God comes through looking at his congregation and his bride at the marriage, we've been bid and we've come, and he sees you here and he goes, cast him out. I may seem a bit over-concerned. Probably in principle you'd never say that, because we all understand in principle that these are real concerns. These are much more high concerns than physical life. There's a lot more spiritual death in the world, I believe, possibly than we've experienced a lot more physical, spiritual death here than we have physical death in this congregation. That's my highest concern. Physical death, if you've been spiritually healthy your whole life, is just a step to glory. That's all it is. We don't need to be so afraid of it. It's a terrible thing. It's a disaster for those who are left behind. It would have been an awful thing. That would have been hard to live with. But if you've done everything, if you've kept a spiritual life, if you've avoided the sin virus, it really is, for the person who died, it really is just a step up. But if it isn't that, it's a step way down. We've been given all the prophylactic treatment that we need. We know the answers. We've been taught and taught and taught. The Sunday school lesson was full and rich this morning. I hope we can take it. I hope that when we swallow the pill, we're still healthy enough to digest the pill and put it to action. It would be nice if we could hook that machine up to you and see where you're at, and I could hook it up to me and see where I'm at, and get the Holy Spirit would give the numbers of how much He can permeate on my life and your life. That would be a nice thing. Probably this morning you'd find yourself at a pretty good high. You'd probably find yourself at a fairly good number. The reason I got this advanced device over the little bitty ones was because you could monitor all night long, which is the lowest time for a person with COVID pneumonia. And that's really important, because you're more apt to die during that time than you are at your high moments. And you want to catch it. You want the alarm to go off. And as we go out in life, it would be really nice to have something like that hooked up to you, where an alarm would go off when you're out there on your own, when temptations are out there, when you're fighting with the struggles of life, and you're not heeding the warning of the Holy Spirit, and the oxygen begins to get low and becomes to a dreadfully low point where you're in danger. It would be good to have that alarm system. I believe that God has given some of that in our heart and in our consciousness of our relationship with Him. You're not going to slip away without knowing it. But it would be nice to have a physical alarm and have the Holy Spirit, you know, thump you. He's going to be more passive than that. We need to be in tune to the threat. We need to be in tune to what's going on, and pray for guidance. Let's take the preventative treatment. Let's maintain a healthy, vibrant relationship with the Lord. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit when it speaks. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit away. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Thank you for your attention. If you all want to stand, and if anybody has a comment they'd like to share, something they'd like to add, maybe something I overlooked or said that didn't have proper qualification or something, please feel free to do so at this time.
I think it's interesting that something that's different between the physical and the spiritual is that in the physical you can get there's established numbers that are healthy numbers for oxygen levels. In the spiritual, if they're running at 60 to 70, and they say, well, that's just my range. That's normal for me. Well, that might be normal for you, but is that okay? And if you go too low of lumber for too long, organs start shutting down, and you start, but like you said, you lose your discernment. You don't realize that's a problem. You think, well, that's something I don't need anyway. I'm doing okay. There's not the universally established numbers. Those who are spiritual say that's not a safe number. Those who aren't spiritual, obviously the person in trouble at that point, his perception is going to be different.
Yeah, so you stay at 60 or 70 very long, the life's going to leave physically. And if you stay there very long spiritually at an equivalent unsafe number, the life's going to leave spiritually. And we're not dealing with the physical life, we're dealing with somewhat inability. to do better. In the spiritual life, we're dealing with resistance to do better. And so it rightfully does leave, and you will be left to yourself.
And also, you can keep breathing and feel okay, somewhat, until organs shut down and it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You can think you're doing okay, and then all of a sudden you don't realize what kind of condition you're in until it's pretty much too late.
Something I was thinking about was one of the bad things about sickness, and when it really bothers us the most, is when it takes away from us the ability to do something that we value.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas spiritually, it's like, if you don't value those spiritual abilities, it won't really bother you when you lose it. But physically, if you get really bad sick and you're no longer able to get up and walk, it's like, wait a minute, this is bad. I valued that ability, so I'm going to do something about it.
But if you'd never got up and walked physically, you didn't want to anyway, and then you got sick and you wouldn't bother you at all. Same, yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you're never walking or running or doing things in the spiritual realm, then when you lose that ability because you don't have the health to do it anymore, or that's slipping away, it isn't going to bother you.
Yeah, I never did that when I could.
Well, if that's all, then let's remain standing for prayer.